Sefer Shoftim begins after the Misa, after the passing of Yehoshua, the great Navi, the great leader, the great, basically, Melech over Klal Yisrael. And the death of Yehoshua brings about a new situation in Jewish life. And by way of introduction to Sefer Shoftim, we start with where the Sefer begins and then the overarching themes of what happens in the Sefer. When Yehoshua passes away, for the first time, there is no central leader of Klal Yisrael, as first Moshe Rabbeinu had been, and then Yehoshua had been. And before that, the generations in Mitzrayim, the generations with the brothers, the generations with Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, this was a very new stage for Klal Yisrael of diffuse leadership, much as we have today. On top of the problems within, they are also beset by a large number of outside enemies, nationally, spiritually, and as Rabbi Beryl Wine says, the Jewish people found it very difficult to get their act together, facing all of these challenges. Moshe Rabbeinu had been a supreme leader for Klal Yisrael. He was the religious leader, the political leader, the financial and military leader, the military general, the prime minister, the chief rabbi, all at once. And a leader like that only comes along once in a millennium. And Yehoshua, who was essentially part of Moshe, continued effectively that kind of leadership. Yehoshua did everything he could to be effective in all of those roles. Conquered most, but not all, of Eretz Canaan. Divided up the land among the Shvatim. Disbanded the huge national army. And then each Jew goes home to his Shevet and his Nachalah, as is described in the end of Yehoshua, and also described here and early on in Shoftim. And individuals start to focus in on themselves rather than the nation as a whole. Instead of one Jewish nation, we are 12 loosely affiliated Shvatim. And each man, as the Nach tells us over and over again in Sefer Shoftim, did Ish Kol HaYashar Be'enav. Each man did that which was right in his own eyes. This is not to say that the majority of Jews descended into any kind of immorality and avodah zara and idol worship, but each individual person is looking out for number one, making individual deals with each other among the Jews or with Gentiles, with the goyim. If one segment of the Jewish people is under attack, there's no guarantee that the rest of Klal Yisrael or any other shvatim will come to their defense, as we will see in the story of Devorah, where open criticism is made of the Shvatim that chose to look to themselves rather than to help their fellow Jews who desperately needed help. When you are living in a situation where each person is looking out for number one, where each Shevet is looking out for number one, then what you have essentially is a coalition government with factions looking out for self-interest, sometimes overriding the national interest. Petty disagreements are common, and they're described throughout the Sefer Shoftim. Difficult decisions which need to be made, especially among the Jewish people, proved impossible to enforce or to enact. It is a period of challenges that we eventually do overcome, but in the end, we are going to eventually need a melech, somebody to unite us all under one banner, because Sefer Shoftim is the opposite of that. Too much democracy is not always good for the Jewish people. And although in today's day and age we see that as a paradigm of how government ought to be, sometimes that's not the best way to govern a nation that's following HaKadosh Baruch Hu's dictates. So one major challenge is the divisiveness, the disunity among Klal Yisrael, because we almost were experiencing too much success in Eretz Yisrael. A second major challenge that comes up over and over again is that, again, disunity, the uniting force was supposed to be the great Mishkan at Shiloh, the central religious location and force of the country. But how effective that could be depended upon where the Mishkan was, because it wasn't always at Shiloh, it did travel, who the Kohen Gadol was, what use it was being put towards. Until the Beis HaMikdash was constructed, The Mishkan never achieves that goal of being the central location that unites the Jewish people, not as it had been in the Midbar. It never got to those heights and that centrality of influence among Klal Yisrael that it once had. Only those who lived near Shiloh went on a regular basis. The masses of Jews did not. And this is another negative in the story of Shoftim as far as how we go. And part of the problem that results from that is the problem of the bamos, the individual altars that people maintained. They had their own karbanos and their own davening. Everybody had his own shtibel, his own bama. There was a halachic ban against personal bamos. It would decentralize the religion, turn it into a free-for-all. And yet, the transient Mishkan meant that bamos were allowed in backyards. And even after the Mishkan was settled at Shiloh and this wasn't true anymore, Klal Yisrael had it in our DNA to daven in somebody's basement instead of going into the Beis HaKnesses, to daven at the bama instead of going in. And over again, we'll see in Sefer Shoftim and in Malachim, Aches HaBamos Lo Saru, various Shoftim, kings, Jewish leaders, the one thing they could not uproot from the Jewish people was the bama, was the idea that we wanted our own little individual place to pray, not joining with everybody else. It illustrates the concept that every milah can also be a chasaron. Anywhere there are 10 Jews, we can make a Beis HaKnesses. We can make a minyan. At the same time, any 10 Jews can make their own minyan. So you can get breakaways and lack of divisions. I'm sorry, lack of unity and too many divisions. And the problem is, once you have your own bamos, along with that comes the challenge of idolatry. Because once you have your own temple in your backyard, what is to stop you from trying out other religious observances back there? Moshe had warned the Jewish people that this would happen. Yoshua had warned the Jewish people that this would happen. His last words to Klal Yisrael were to watch out for idol worship. And yet, almost immediately after the death of Yehoshua, this infects the Jewish people. Enough pagans are left from the incomplete conquest of the land that their beliefs and their ways infect the Jews, and the Jewish national mission is not being realized. Throughout the period of the Shoftim, approximately 355 to 380 years, nearly 400 years of this period, Rav Reuven Margolios points out that the Jews had an even harder time based on something that we just learned at the end of Yehoshua. They were very observant. They kept the mitzvos. But at the same time, they compartmentalized. And so while on the one hand, they were keeping Shabbos, on Sunday, they were worshiping Avodah Zarah. While they were keeping the Jewish ways, they also, in an ecumenical, broad way, were worshiping idols and pagan ways at the same time. So the period of the Shoftim has challenges of leadership, challenges of unity, of religious unity and spiritual unity, and then a third challenge of almost continual warfare as we have external enemies attacking us on a fairly constant basis throughout the Sefer. Enemies internal and external weakening Jewish resolve, factionalism, diffusion, a large toll is taken on the Jewish people, including the human toll of sections of the nation that fall away and do not remain Jewish, something that, of course, continues to happen, and we talk about it constantly in Sefer Shoftim, in the various Nevi'im, in Slichos on Yom Kippur, about how we have the smelting process by which the waste product is sloughed off and only the pure metal remains. So how do we judge the period of the Shoftim? So there are differences of opinion upon this. Rav Avigdor Miller very famously has the point of view that this period is the highest moment in Jewish history. As he points out in several of his Shmuzin, almost 400 years pass with only a few remarkable incidents brought up in Sefer Shoftim, showing that the majority of the time, the Jewish people were maintaining their belief and commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and didn't need a forcible return to his ways. That point of view argues we don't have a melech, a king during this time period, because we didn't need one. We were fulfilling our tasks in full religiosity and emunah on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, many other observers consider Sefer Shoftim to be a somewhat dark time. A time of challenge, a time the man Loez quotes Shlomo HaMelech, all his days are in darkness, and says that this is the period of the Shoftim. We didn't listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We were easily tempted to transgress. The disunity and crises show dangerous impulses among the Jewish people. The idea of each person, Ishkol Yashar Be'inav, is considered to be a true negative among Klal Yisrael. The recurrence of paganism, of killing one's family out, familial homicide, happens more than once in Sefer Shoftim. Civil war, Pesel Micha, Pilegesh Begiva. The stories that we're going to see in Sefer Shoftim are the stories of a Jewish people somewhat in disarray. Now, a final word about the Shoftim itself. The Shoftim, the Mefarshim say, came from all 12 tribes, although we don't see representatives of all 12 named in Sefer Shoftim. Only certain ones get page space in Sefer Shoftim. But they were not elected. They were not appointed. They felt a calling to rise up and lead. Some opinions say they were confirmed by Nevi'im, who were part of Jewish life. Others say they were confirmed by the Sanhedrin. Still others say that there was no unifying body to confirm a Shofet's status or authority. And the one thing that we learn in Sefer Rus about them is also that the people often resisted even the Shoftim, who were meant to be in charge of them. It says in Medrash Megillas Rus, Oy ledor sheshoftu es shofteihem. Woe to the generation that judged its judges. And the Medrash takes many points of view on what that means. Sometimes it's judges, civil judges, who were not worthy of the name, corrupt judges. But sometimes it was Shoftim who genuinely had the welfare of the Jewish people at heart, and yet the Leitzanei Hador were more than willing to judge them. When a Shofet would tell them what to do, the Medrash says, they would say, may a beam split your head. Like, you go ahead and take care of yourself. You can't tell me what to do. This problem would not be solved for hundreds of years until the days of Shmuel Hanavi, when centralized authority would finally, excuse me, coalesce under the anointed Melachim, David HaMelech, Shlomo HaMelech. But even that would not last long, because unfortunately, within less than a century, the Jewish nation would be irrevocably split again into the 10 tribes and the 2 tribes. So Sefer Shoftim is the beginning of the modern era of the Jewish people, of a Jewish people fractured at times, but brought back by messages, lessons, and sometimes pech from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as he reunites us sometimes against our own will behind the bris that we made at the end of Sefer Yehoshua. So I hope we enjoy together learning Sefer Shoftim and the many lessons it has to share with us.